Well, happy Monday to everyone. Here in Pineville, it's about 5:30, and it's Monday morning, August the 5th, 2019. And Isaiah 26:4, trust ye in the Lord forever. Trust ye in the Lord forever. When men let us down, we can always look to the Lord for our strength. Welcome aboard, Ashley. It's good to see you this morning. And I guess it's Monday afternoon there, possibly. Anyway, welcome aboard, Sam Moongai. And August the 5th, walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4. As ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. Romans 6:19. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Wow, Monday night there, Ashley. That's amazing. So, you're actually way behind us instead of way before us. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And Galatians 6:15 and 16, and Ephesians 4:17, 20, 21, and 24. Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't think I'm completely awake this morning, Ashley. Yeah, you are before us. You're in front Monday night. Yes. Well, this morning, I was thinking a lot about what we hold to our whole lives oftentimes is based upon misinformation that we're given as young children and throughout our lives. I know when I was going to the University of Kansas, one of the history teachers repeated a quote that we've heard often. And he said, history is told by the victors, by the ones who live to tell about it. The ones who died don't give their side of the story. And so I was thinking a lot about that as I was going through, again, studying history on the Anabaptists. You know, I think I shared with you all before, welcome Sam Moongai. Glad to have you with us today. And it was in a Reformed Presbyterian church that I was told the truth about the Anabaptists, believe it or not. by a very brave soul. His name was Daniel Keel. And he knew history. And he gave the history of the persecution by the reformers of the Anabaptists. And it wasn't long before he was out on his ear. You can imagine. But if we're told something, the question is, how do we validate information? How do we validate? You know, you can get four or five different stories about history. You know, if you talk to someone, everyone has a story about World War I and World War II and who fomented the war. Okay. You can hear stories about the different presidents of the United States down through history and their different positions on things. You can hear stories about the French Revolution, different views on it, different views on Adolf Hitler, different views on the Holocaust, different views on even the events of this past week. There will be several different stories. But there's one thing that we can rely on, and that's the Word of God. We can trust in the Lord forever because His Word is sure. That's why it's important to know that we have a sure word of testimony and we're not relying upon all these newfangled versions of the Bible, new translations, because they've changed the Word of God and made it something totally different. History is His story, the authentic story. We must not put our trust in man and the arm of the flesh, because the arm of the flesh will fail. You know, I failed many people throughout my life. I'm not proud of it. I'm just being honest. I'm a human being. I'm fallible. I make mistakes. I make errors. I'm a sinful creature. My hope is in my Abba Father who forgives me when I sin. He is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I don't have to go to a priest and confess my sins. But Christ is my high priest. He's my advocate. And so, I'll show you something. I ordered some books. I only ordered about five or six books. And I went out to my mailbox the other day. And I got all these books. All right. And some of the stuff in the books are really good. World War I and the rise of fascism. The Protestant view of church history. What happened to evangelical Protestantism in the 19th century? The battle over the identity of the Catholic Church at the time of the Reformation and afterwards. Plain Tracts for Perilous Times. The Contradictions of New Evangelicalism. C.S. Lewis, Hollywood, and the Romancing of America. The Jesuit Culture Camp in the United States. This is a really good book. I would recommend this book, The Jesuit Culture Camp in the United States. Talks about the Jesuit takeover of the United States. Contending for the culture or contending for the faith. Now, I will say that every one of these books is, that I'm showing you, is looking at history from the standpoint of the Protestants, those who came out of Rome. And a lot of it's good. But there's only one big thing that's really, well, there's two big things that are missing throughout all of Ronald Cook's books. Exposing of the persecution of the Anabaptist. Obviously, this guy's a Protestant, so he's not going to tell the rest of the story. And also exposing of the synagogue of Satan. He's going to talk more about the Jesuits than he is the synagogue of Jews. The missing truth in the modern church. Well, there's a lot of missing truth in the modern church, including the history of the Anabaptists. Rationalism, higher criticism, and modernism at the beginning of the 20th century. More excuses of compromise exposed. Of course, he's talking about the ecumenical movement. The debacle in Yugoslavia. And, of course, he's talking about Mystery Babylon, the Roman Catholic Church influence there. The rebellion in the Protestantism today against sola fide. Well, you know, there's a lot of rebellion. You know, there's a lot of rebellion. You know, John Piper, James White, a lot of these people will give you a different gospel because they're reading a different Bible. Okay? And so you can go and read these different books and see Dr. Ronald Cook's position on things. Okay? And he makes a lot of good points. The spread of the Reformation in Scotland. Okay? You know, it's not that I haven't read these different people. I've read the Reformers down through the years. I've read what they have to say about things, and then I've read the old school Baptist, and I've read Gilbert Beebe, The Absolute Predestination of All Things. Here's one, The Spread of the Reformation in the Netherlands by a Reign of Terror. Now this tells the story of how the Reformers were persecuted by the Roman Catholics, and we know there was a lot of persecution going on. What has happened to Protestantism in America? Well, again, you know, the Anabaptists protested Roman Catholicism more than anyone because they never went into Rome. The people that came out of Rome had already been immersed in all of her Babylonian idolatry. The reproach of Christ, the ecumenical church despises the reproach of Christ. That's true. The ecumenical church is into materialism and socialism and convenience and tolerance and whatever feels good, do it. That's the new ecumenical churches. They despise coming out from the world and being separate. The cultural mandate, fact or fiction. The effect of Jesuit eschatology on America today. That's another excellent book. the effect of Jesuit eschatology on America today. The woman sitting on the beast, riding the beast. We see how it affected people like Rush Dooney, who went to a Jesuit college, and how he was trying to proclaim before he died that, you know, there was going to be a grand scale revival in America based upon his eschatology. I don't know how he got it, but anyway, the papacy of the at the beginning of the Dark Ages. Now again, the people that are giving this, people like Philip Schaff, is the Protestant church historian. Edward Gibbon in The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. And you can read these people and you can get their perspective on things. Kenneth Law Tourette, modern church historian. Dean Farrer. You know, what do they have to say about his story? His story. Everybody has a different perspective out there. J.C. Ryle wrote a lot of good things. Harry Ironside. So I was a little shocked when I went to my mailbox and got all these little booklets. You know, The Incomparable Christ. The Protestant view of church history is different than the Baptist view of church history because the Baptists were persecuted by the Protestants. We primarily have given the Protestant church view of church history. They're not going to, you think the Protestants are going to talk about how much they murdered the old Baptists and drowned them and everything else? They're not going to tell you about that. They're going to give their good side. We only give our good side. You know? The wisdom of this age, the wisdom of God. The world is either getting better or better or worse or worse. You know? And there's a lot of people that thinks it's getting better and better because of modern conveniences and technology and everything else. You know, we actually have running water. We have inside toilets. But from a spiritual context, what is the answer to that question? Christ said things will wax worse and worse. That's what Christ said. And since he created the universe, I'm going to take his word for it. Okay? The papal chair leading up to the Reformation, a place of war, murder, poison, assassination, and immorality. That's what was going on in the Roman Catholic Church. Well, you know, he says Rick Warren displays an ignorance of Protestant history. Well, Dr. Ron Cook, I think you display either an ignorance of Anabaptist history, or you're withholding the facts of Anabaptist history and how they were persecuted by Zwingli and Luther. It's amazing how people get a one-sided view. I'm not saying that the Protestants did not proclaim a lot of good biblical truth, especially regarding the sovereignty of God. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying that God did not use the Protestant Reformation to bring the Word of God to the common man through the printing press and the distribution of the Word of God throughout the world. I think it's wonderful. But let's give the whole story, not just part of the story. You know? There's a lot of people that proclaim, you know, historical, they want to go with the whole thing of the lines of history down through the, you know, the succession of the church. And an unwavering line of succession of the true bride of Christ. I believe in the truth in that. In other words, Christ said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's always had his remnant church. Dictatorship and dissent. Dictatorship and dissent. Again, this is a very slanted view of history. I'm saying that a lot of what Dr. Ronald Cook writes is correct, especially regarding the papal dominion and the Babylonian horror. And I'm not saying that Luther didn't write some good things. You know, Luther believed that what some historians call reform in the church was rather the work of the devil and the Antichrist. You know, Luther, here's one quote by Luther. If a man cannot restrain himself, let him marry and live without sin. If he cannot live without distress, let him disregard the Pope with his devil and the devil's teachings, and be untroubled by the unwilling, forced promise made to the bishop in the devil's stead. And if the Pope had brought about no other calamity than this prohibition of marriage, it would be sufficient to stamp him as Antichrist, who is rightly called a man of sin, son of perdition, and the abomination. So much sin and perdition have followed in the wake of this one law. I agree with Martin Luther on that. That's why there's so much sexual abuse in the Roman Catholic churches. They're demanding that their priests practice abstinence. The reformers didn't recognize the papal dominion, but many of the reformers did not recognize the Anabaptists as being the true saints of God either. Here's one called Papal Decay and the Collapse Before the Protestant Reformation. God used the Protestant Reformation in a mighty way to bring about the proclamation of the gospel in what was the time of the Dark Ages. And there was a time when there was such a war raging between the Roman Catholic Church and the Reformers that it could be compared to a worldwide civil war based upon religious convictions. This is Beringer of Tours from 998 to 1088 AD during that time. And of course, the thing about it is, there's been a lot of lies about sacramentalism, you know, and the focus on sacraments and liturgy, not only in the Lutheran Church, but also even in the Presbyterian Church, less in the Presbyterian Church than the Lutheran Church, I might add. But if you want to get into the doctrine of comparing transubstantiation with co-substantiation, that's an interesting study. I don't agree with either. Okay? it says that the Protestant Reformation fought the battle and repudiated transubstantiation as repugnant to plain words of Scripture. They say that transubstantiation is not a true communion at all, because sacrificing Jesus Christ all over again. They proclaim transubstantiation is a fable. Well, I agree with that. But when you get into Luther's ideas regarding co-substantiation, then I have problems with his interpretation of that according to Scripture as well. I'm not going to get into that this morning. So there's a lot of different views of history, and these views of the Protestant history, some of these views can be found in all of these books I've just got to go through with you, okay? One person's view, I might add, one person's view, he is the one that also wrote Antichrist Exposed, the record and Puritan view of the Antichrist. Well, I agree that the Antichrist is the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope. I agree with that. Christ said there would be many Antichrists. Many Antichrists. The IRA and the ethnic cleansing in Ulster today. Was the first half of the 20th century the nadir of triumphalism? And you know what? I have perused these books already and went through them. And like I said, there's a lot of good things in these books. However, anytime you withhold truth, then it's not. Withholding of truth can be a lie. Withholding of truth, just like we have been withheld. When I was brought up, in an Armenian free will church. Welcome aboard Oscar Graves and welcome aboard Sydney Betha 3. And I was taught that everything was man's salvation was conditioned on man's free will. It's all based upon the free will of man. And it's just not the case. It's just not the case. Scripture bears this out, and that's why I wrote this little book called The Lies of Free Will. Do you control your own destiny? I got a call yesterday. I'm just kind of sharing this morning. I got a call yesterday from a fellow down in Harrison, Arkansas. And I've known him for about probably 4 years now. And here, probably maybe 2 months ago, I sent him this book, The Lies of Free Will, and I sent him this book, God Does Not Love Everyone, But He Does Love His Elect, From Everlasting to Everlasting. And he called me on the phone and he said, "Hey, I've been trying to get a hold of you." He says, "I want to thank you for writing this book." He said, "I've read through the book." And he said, "I want to thank you for sending me that book." Well, how many books have you ever seen that proclaim that God does not love everyone? Most books out there proclaim that God does love everyone. You can go up and down the streets of most cities, and you can even see people having signs in the yard, "God loves you," and on church banners. I saw one the other day. I think it was on a Lutheran church out in Shelnob, Missouri. And it says, "Know this, God loves you." Now, how do they know the persons, all the people that are going by that sign, how do they know that God loves everyone? Maybe some, you know that some of those people going by that sign are not loved by God. There are Esau's going by that sign. So they're taking on, they're playing God. So anyway, I just wanted to point some of these things out this morning. Just because a guy writes a book on Protestant history, just because a guy writes a book on a particular view of history, mean that he's telling the whole story. Okay? Like I say, we've been lied about the Holocaust. We've been lied about dispensationalism and the lies of Scofield. We've been lied about regarding dispensational theology. We've been lied about the history of the Reformation, leaving out the persecution of the Baptists. But God never lies. We can rely upon Him. That's the thing that I want to point out today. Jesus said, "I am the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Not through the Protestant Reformation. Not through a Baptist denomination. Not through the whore of the Roman Babylon Catholic Church, but through Christ. God has given a name that's greater than any name, that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and every knee should bow, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, this morning, let us not get sidetracked. In other words, let's not become so vested in one particular view and think that that view is the only, is all truth, because in all probability it is not. It's one of the best pieces of advice my dad ever gave me. There's three sides to every story. There's a side that I'll tell, and there's a side that you'll tell, and there's a side that neither one of us will tell. And that represents close to the truth, that side that neither one of us tells. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so anything I reveal about others, I'm just speaking about myself. Because we are in, this is the human condition. This is the human condition. If I point my finger at you, okay, there's four pointing right back at me. But where our finger should be pointing is to Christ, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. So the good Lord be with you this morning, and may this little devotional cause us to reflect on what is truth. The truth can only be found in Christ. God bless.